Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I am so happy today to welcome an author whose book really just, her name is Anne Claire. The name of her book is A Cyclist's Guide to Crime and Croissants. Anne Claire, you are an amazing writer. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I've missed you a couple of times when you've had some other books out in the past, and I've read your books, but this one, of course, all you have to do is put croissants on the title, but there are so many things in this book, and what impresses me here is that you have, I almost feel like you've come home. This is, I feel like you're in your place here. This is what it's going to be, I think, a nice long-running series. I feel like here you are the most comfortable in all of your writing.
Oh, well, thank you. That means so much to me. And I do, I've loved the settings and the characters of all my books, but I've especially, I really love this one. The first book that I attempted to write was set in France, so I feel like never got past my desk, but now finally I got to set a book there, and it's been a lot of fun.
This is where you belong. There are many reasons why I love this book, in addition to the croissants, is that you mentioned Kir Royale. That was my drink of choice.
Yes, me too. I always love it.
When I lived in England, of course, gin and tonic was my first drink.
Yes.
But when any place I traveled in Europe, wherever we went, it was always a Kir Royale. That was it.
Yes, that's so, what makes me think of traveling there, too. My husband is half French, half American, and my first experience with France was going to meet him there for a vacation, and that's sort of my summer in France vacation drink. I think of Kir Royale.
It's so special. It's just so wonderful. Sometimes I'm talking to friends in America who have not been to France, and I'm talking about I want a Kir Royale, and they don't know what they don't know the joy. My program's Joy on Paper, but it's also there's joy in a Kir Royale.
Yes, little joys like that, and that's what I love about what we'll be able to write about a cycling tour and all the joy you get out of cycling and traveling and these little things that you may notice when you're traveling or on a bicycle. It's just been a lot of fun to do that, to think about that.
Many things that you get to use, I think, from your own life and your own background, because you obviously love geography. So you have some really wonderful things in here. I get so excited about Sadie. I think she's a wonderful character. So let's talk a little bit about Sadie, because I have been on that road. I think that's the A9, is it? Is it A9?
Oh, I'm going to forget roads. This is bad of me.
I don't drive in France. Yeah, I don't drive in France. My husband drove in France because I was never crazy enough. You have to be a little bit crazy.
I think you have to be much braver than I am.
Oh, yes. Especially along that route. So I think it's A9.
Yes.
It's an absolutely beautiful area.
Gorgeous area. Yeah. It's just so pretty.
You can explain how we get there with her and how we get to the south of France, because she doesn't start off in the south of France. She starts off in a less impressive area.
Okay. Sadie Green is the protagonist, and her background is that she's gone a very predictable path. She was even named like Miss Predictable, I think. Was that what she was named in her high school class? And she was doing an accounting job, a cubicle job, and living her life, what was expected. And then tragically, her best friend died in a bicycling accident. You know, obviously, she's shattered, but one of her friends and her dream was to move to France someday. Someday we'll do this. And run a bicycle tour company. So very unlike her, she quits her job and she buys this bicycle company that an older couple is selling. They want someone to take over their legacy. And that's how she ends up in France, to live out this dream, but also to do something different, live her life that she's always wanted to do, and for her friend too. I wanted her to be an expat in a way, too, because I didn't want to presume that I knew. I certainly don't know everything about France. So I wanted her to be learning along with the readers, with me, seeing things through her eyes, but also adjusting to life in France and seeing what she does.
Yes, because as an expat, so many things you don't understand.
And even different from being on vacation, too. I think now she's not just a vacation to France, but she's living in France. And so she has these problems. Of course, some of them are murder because it's a mystery.
But we have it. But I love how you describe Sadie at the beginning of the book. And I love, here's a little bit, because I know that you study geography. So you managed to throw in little geography things. Like you explain that she was in the midst of a breakup. And you describe it as not as crushing as a San Andreas fault.
Oh, yes.
So all these little things that most people wouldn't think of, but with your geography background, I think it came to mind.
Oh, well, thank you. That means so much to me. I appreciate it.
Your husband's a geographer. Is that what I understand?
Yes, we're both geographers. We met in graduate school for geography and anthropology in Louisiana, and he teaches geography now, and I get to write books, which is lovely, and travel, and we can, so that's fun.
It is fun, and I love all those little extras. I never heard about a breakup having anything to do with the San Andreas Fault. So it's clever, and it proves what I always tell to people, that you never know, and you write about it, you never know what life is going to bring you. Here's Sadie in this sort of natural environment of corporate America. You're in a cubicle, and your life is going on, and you have these vacations. But it's an ordinary life, and suddenly everything can change on a dime. And with authors, that's why I think it's so important that authors have an other life before they really can hit their stride. You can't just come out of college and not have ever worked and not ever have done all this exploration of the world and actually make it come alive as you have done it in this book.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, thank you. I appreciate that so much. That really does mean a lot to me, because I sometimes think, oh, I'm not using my geography. But really, everyone is every day. You look around, and especially if you're in a foreign country or you're on vacation, there's, I think, so much you realize or you see differently, like you said.
So we have Sadie, and off she's going after some other things that we discover about her, but off she's to France. And I liked very much that I liked that phrase that you had, the owners or the people who were selling the bike shop were looking for pitches with passion.
Yeah, and that's what really gets her. That's what gets her the job. She has some bicycling experience in her background, but not as much as many would. But she wanted this job and for a passion, to live a life out for herself and for her friends, to live a dream. She really connects with the former owners, and I like having them in the story, too. I think all of my books have had some older characters that I really connect with, and so I like Bien Bernard, the older characters.
Exactly. It brings a nice depth to the story, gives us a background of the area and of the people. I thought that was great. And we land up now, whenever you have a mystery story where you have a sort of a melange of characters, and here we have actually a melange. I like that. I think one of your people who blurred for you used that term, and I thought, oh, that's so perfect, because you have to introduce all the characters who are going to be in this bike tour, and you do it so beautifully.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate that, too, because sometimes with a lot of characters, I wonder, I try to take pains to make them different and distinct. But
well, you did it beautifully, and this is what I tell people who are just starting off writing. You don't need a whole paragraph or two paragraphs or a page, as some of them will describe a character, until you get over it. I don't want to know that her toes hurt or something. You do it so well. Tell us about the characters. Each of them bring a different element to the story. I love the way you describe Nigel Fox with his walrus mustache. It fit him perfectly.
So some of the characters are people from Sadie's hometown back in Illinois. And so they come for a cycle tour, and she really wants to prove to them that she's made the right move. Some of her hometown people are understandably thinking, what did she do? She made this big mistake out of grief, and she gave up her job, and she gave up her apartment and boyfriend and moved to France. So she wants to prove to them that she's made the right move. That's one of her big goals at the beginning of this book. But then murder strikes, so she has all the more trouble to deal with, right? And then some others are strangers to the group, which is always fun and a mystery. A stranger comes, and we don't know how they'll get along and all their background. So it's a mix of people, which I think is fun, too.
Beautifully introduced into the story. I like when I am able to distinguish characters, when I read their name, for example, her former boss, mm-hmm. and he has mm-hmm. a distinctive name. I like that because then I remember as I'm reading.
You.
I don't have to go back.
I'm glad to hear that. Oftentimes I'll change the names of characters throughout the book and think, I'll realize that they sound too much alike or that I'm not remembering them correctly or they don't seem to fit. So I do try, at least in my mind, I think, that fits the character. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Thank you.
It's important. A character like Nigel, or you have a character like Dom, who is her former boss. They are very distinctive.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Because cozy novels, you want the community and people involved. And so I feel like there has to be a certain number of people involved in the cast, which makes it, I think, sometimes difficult to make sure that readers don't have trouble figuring out who they are or have to go back every time.
And I love, of course, the bike tour in France always reminds me of the Tour de France, which I love. And so many people, I think, who watch the Tour de France, they will be drawn to this book because there is that element of a lot of bicycle information, which is fun to read.
It's fun. I love watching the long-distance bike races. I can't say I've ever done that. I was just reunited with my bike for these books, honestly. But I love watching the Tour de France, and I especially love it for the landscapes they go through, all the stories about the riders and the history. It's just so fascinating.
I watch it every year because, we traveled over much of that land, so we went to many of the places. And one of the things, and this I found absolutely delightful, you mentioned a place called Elne. Now, you've been there, right?
Yes, I've been all over. I was really lucky to, my husband's parents, my in-laws, live in that region. And so we've gotten to travel all around to those little villages, and I just love those places.
I've been there. I said, we drove all over France. We went to Elne because when I was in high school, my favorite subject was Latin. Mm-hmm. I loved Latin.
Oh,
and of course, I translated Caesar's Gallic Wars. And I became fascinated with Roman history. We drove the Appian Way, and we went to Elne because, tell us why Elne is so important.
Oh, there was the cathedral there, and also Hannibal went through with his armies. In the book I talk about, it was such this big place in the past, and there they are now. It's more of a village. It's more sleepy, a commuter town in a way. And Sadie, the bike tour, has this job of showing people the past and what it is now, and so they stop there and have a little adventure in Elne.
That's what I love. This is a wonderful way to learn history, and you just blend it in nicely, just part of the tour. That's what's fun about doing something like this and reading something like this. You can vicariously travel to all of these locations.
So. That's what I loved about writing it, too. They move around. I just finished book two. Just yesterday I turned it in, and they were in Alsace for that tour. And so I got to learn a lot I've been up there, but I got to think about, where would they cycle? What would they do? What would they see? Mix in a little bit of history and a little bit more of, I didn't know what to call it, tidbits about each place and about Alsace. So it was super fun to write.
This book has layers to it. As people are reading it, they might not realize it. There's a geography in there. We learn about geography. We learn about the travel. It terrifies me, though, actually, the bike, riding the bike. Well, it's like at the Tour de France, where they're on bikes and these cars go by them. It drives me crazy.
Yes. I know. I'm a little, I will admit too that the Sadie is much, I always say this, my protagonists are so much braver than I ever would be. But yeah, my bike and I stay on bike paths.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I would not be that adventurous, but it is nice to read about, but I would not be. It would terrify me. So many of the roads have cliffs on them. They drop off. They just drop off.
Yes. And very fast driving and narrow little roads. But that was one of the other things, too. I got on Michelin Maps, and I tried to think she would take this road that is less traffic and more scenic. And so I got to think about all those things. And my editor, who came up with this idea, because she'd been on a bike tour, she put me in touch with the bike tour guide who had inspired her. So he's been telling me some stories about bike tours. And I just sound like so much fun. Some of the things that I imagined that I thought was going extreme, like people who have never ridden a bike going on a bike tour. He says, oh, yeah, that's happened.
Oh, this is fascinating. So your editor at Kensington gave you the idea. It wasn't your idea.
It was, my idea was the France. It was originally going to be set somewhere else, and then it couldn't be. So my idea was the France, and then she had been years ago on a bike tour and had gotten talking with this guy that I'm now in touch with, Bill Reuther. And they kept talking about, oh, what a wonderful moving setting it would be for a mystery. It's like its own little, not a locked room, obviously. You're rolling around France, but it's a set cast of characters. That you would have on this bike tour in a different mix. Like you said, the strangers, the friends, the people on bachelorette parties. Say, there's all sorts of possibilities on a bike tour. And yeah, this was her spark of an idea.
Oh, this is a wonderful woman. What's her name?
Wendy McCurdy.
And, Wendy McCurdy.
Like said, you're
a genius.
Well, she is, isn't she? Isn't this fun?
Wendy McCurdy is absolutely a genius, and I hope that you're going to invite her somewhere and for croissants and Cure Royale.
Yes, in fact, Bill, the bike tour guy, was like, yeah, we can get you two on a bike tour and you can talk books, so the rest of the show ends up being fun.
Because I have a feeling, you know, this is your tour de force. This series is going to be your tour de force.
I hope so. I would love to keep it going because it is so much fun. There's so many places they could go and things they could do. Fingers crossed.
I think so. I just feel like you're at home here, and this is where you belong, and you should be writing this. And I think that I envision it as a nice long series with you and Sadie.
I would love that.
Now, I have to take a commercial break, but will you hold on? Because I want to talk to you about many things about this book, but I particularly want to talk about trees and Balzac. Will you hold on for commercials?
Sure. Okay.
Okay, hold on, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes, okay?
Thanks.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest, Anne Claire, and the name of her book is A Cyclist's Guide to Crime and Croissants. And I am so happy to be talking to you, Anne.
Thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate this. This is so much fun.
Well, I don't know, Anne, if you realize how fine a writer you really are. I'm complimenting you so much because you are just a fine writer.
Thank you. I'm blushing in Colorado.
Well, you should be. Not blushing, you should just be smiling, because when I read somebody who writes so beautifully, I get tickled. It's just, it makes me so happy. Among the many things that you write so well about are trees, and I love how you include trees without including trees. The trees are a part of what you obviously see trees in your head, and you obviously, I don't know where it comes from, but I have never heard or seen anyone write about a weary maple. Nobody ever writes a weary maple tree. This is so clever. It's so smart because it's different. It's original. And it captures in a moment. She looks at a weary maple tree. Now, I lived my life around maple trees. And I love maple trees. Mm-hmm. And I can see in the location where she has a maple tree, it would be weary. And I felt sorry. Yes. Here I am reading your book, and I'm feeling sorry for that maple. I know that maple love to be up north in northern Michigan, where it belongs.
Yes. Yes, not by the highway, not in the summer.
Yeah,
thank you.
And that little bit sets you aside from so many of the writers. The minute you wrote that, the minute that Sadie thought that, I knew that I was in for a treat with your writing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, gosh. Oh, that's so sweet. I'm just floating over here. Thank you.
And then when you get to an apricot tree and you say, it's bejeweled in fruit. I'm thinking many people who read the book, they won't know exactly why this writing stands out. They don't understand it like I do, that when a writer can just write something like that, it sets them apart. Really, it's fantastic.
Thank you. Goodness, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Everything from the doves in the lemon tree to the figs to the linden tree to the plane tree all the other trees that you mention in there, the chincona. It gives you a depth. It gives you a quality that one doesn't always get in a cozy mystery.
Oh, thank you, gosh. I do. This is one of my geography things, and it almost makes me nervous about doing real places sometimes. I think, I want to get the flowers right, like what's blooming. I actually quizzed my mother-in-law, who was over in France at the time, that the book is set. I said, what is blooming? To make sure I got it right, or hopefully right, or close.
It's little details like that gives it a really just a flavor that I think you're going to carry through in many books. I think this is going to be one of those long-running series. It's funny, when I first met Carol J. Perry, who is also a Kensington, I started my radio program 9 years ago, and she was the first author to come into my studio. And I read her first book, and I said, at the time, I said, and this was, she was in for her book number one, and I said, this is going to be a long-running series. And right now she's working on book 15.
So, oh my goodness. Okay, I hope this predicts it then. I really don't
I can see quality, and you've got quality. And one of the things is, you didn't go to school to study writing. You went to school to study geography. Mm-hmm. Why geography?
Oh, it was a random thing, honestly. I can't say that I went from high school wanting to study geography, but I went to Penn State. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, rural Pennsylvania. And we didn't travel really at all. The farthest we ever went away was an hour drive to my grandparents' house. And so I was always fascinated with other places. And when I saw there was this geography that I could study, it was so compelling to me that I could study other places, study maps, travel, learn about places, study. But anyway, I was just smitten with it. I went on and got some degrees in geography just because I really loved it. I didn't have some grand, again, I'm revealing my lack of grand plan. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it. I just knew that I loved studying it.
And then, of course, you met a geographer.
A geographer, so that was good fortune.
So it was meant to be that you would study geography, because if you had gone into some silly subject like, some of these degrees that they're getting in, it's just, some of them are ridiculous. You probably wouldn't have met him or wouldn't have been interested
in him. I keep saying, I'll see things I think I want to do, and I say, we still would have met if I'd gotten into fish hatcheries or whatever, lichen studies. But no, it's a good thing we met in geography in Louisiana there. It was fun.
It does add depth. Now, of course, he was raised in France?
In between, back and forth. His father is from Perpignan, in the region where this book is set, and his mother is from Ohio. And so what I really liked about the characters, Bea and Bernard, who are the older characters, is that they're living out a dual nationality life, too. They're mentors to Sadie about how to the expats, how to fit in, how to go between places. And so I'm a little bit modeled after my in-laws.
So how are you doing it? Do you speak French now?
Oh, this is my great shame. I'm going to reveal my great shame. I am not so good at. I try, but I am very bad. Every year now, I've just finished the book, and I was just saying to myself, I will get an app. I will learn more. I feel like I can hear and I can read a little bit speaking. Oh my goodness, don't ask me to speak.
I know the feeling, you know, it happens with Americans. I can read French. I love to read French. It's like, it won't come out of my mouth because I'm embarrassed. And it's a shame. Now, I don't think the French actually laugh at our accent. They might smile.
But that's fine. But speaking, I know I'm not doing it correctly. And so I just freeze up.
I know. And we stop ourselves. Yes. We really do. On the other hand, we love people who are from France. We love their accents.
Lovely. Exactly. No, again, it is my vow. I have memorizing things is not my forte anymore. I really want to get better at saying things.
I have to discover some way that why we can't do it. It's even as I think about saying the French words, that I know the French words. I can read short stories by Balzac in French. Because I wanted to be able to understand. Have you read Balzac at all in English or French?
No, I'm going to admit I have not. No, I should. Now that you say that, I'll put it on the list. Things I should read.
Put it on your list because Balzac, short stories by Balzac, are so great. And this is also a way that might encourage you to learn more French. So definitely you have to read Balzac. But one of the things that your book reminded me of, and also thinking about your career, because I don't know if you've ever read the short stories of Somerset Maugham.
Yes, I have. Ages ago, though, so I'm not going to be able to read it.
Ages ago. Somerset Maugham didn't go to college to learn writing. He became a doctor. He was a doctor. That's how he wrote From Human Bondage. He knew something. He knew about people. He knew about suffering. He knew about pain. He knew about medical conditions. He knew all of that. And so when you do that, when you have other occupations other than just writing, when you had some background, then your writing becomes so much better, which I think is why your writing is different from many of the authors that I get. They're fine writers. They're doing well. But they don't have any life experience. They haven't done, I'm sure you've done a lot of traveling, and you've looked at trees, you've looked at rocks, you've looked at the geography, and this makes a difference in your writing.
Oh, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. I will look at those books, but August is going to be my month of reading, so I appreciate that.
I suggest you also, when I'm talking about Somerset Maugham, there's a very politically incorrect book, a short story, by Somerset Maugham, and it is The Three Fat Women of Antibes.
Okay, there's a title.
That's a title. You couldn't get away with it today. I would love for somebody to publish a book that starts The Three Fat Women of Toronto or The Three Fat Women of Palm Beach. No.
I bet that's a fun story, though. I bet they're up to some things.
Can you imagine it getting past an editor? I wonder what would happen if somebody sends a book to Kensington, and it's a cozy mystery series, and it's called The Three Fat Women Who Travel Around.
It might.
I don't think so. I don't think we're allowed to say that anymore. But it is a wonderful short story, and it's a wonderful short story for an author, especially as it's set in a location that will interest you. So I'm filled with ideas. But once you can read French better, then you can start reading Balzac too, and that'll give you more. But you've done wonderful work in this one. I wasn't mentioning trees. Let's just do the olive tree. Explain the olive tree reference in the book.
Ancient olive trees of southern France are just so beautiful and so old, so much history involved in them, too. I honestly can't remember what I was talking about now.
And I think something like that is fascinating. Again, it's one of the things that interested me because I picked olives I spent a year picking olives. And it
my romantic mind thinks, oh, it's so lovely. I remember I also mentioned cork trees in this first book, and that cork trees fascinate me. I just hadn't thought of them before I met a cork tree and peeling off the bark to get cork. So, yeah, little bits like that have been fun to learn about and talk about.
It's great. You understand by doing this series, your trips to France will be tax deductible.
I hope so. Wouldn't
research.
That be nice? I would
it's
think
research.
So. Yeah. So the next book three, I still have book three is under contract, and that's supposed to be in Provence. So that would be fun to go back there and call it.
You spent quite a bit of time in Provence, and yeah, definitely it's tax deductible. I was just talking to Jonathan Santlaufer, and he did the Lost Mona Lisa and the Last Van Gogh, and he made a 2-week trip to France. And Holland, and all of that counts, okay?
Okay, that's good. That's a thought. That makes for, we're trying to plan a trip.
That's
so.
It. By the next time I interview you for book two, does it have a title yet? No?
It does. It's A Cyclist's Guide to Villains and Vines.
Oh, that's nice. And that reminds me, this is where you are able to describe things. I love your little story about elf, an old elf. That's great. It was sacré bleu. There's a horrendous episode in the book. Just took my breath away. It's just awful. Somebody actually made coffee with a Mr. Coffee machine. In France, is not acceptable. Just anybody who does that's awful.
That's funny,
But again, very well written. Thank you so much for joining me
so
today.
Much.
I think you've done a wonderful job with this book, and it was a joy to read. And it's called A Cyclist's Guide to Crime and Croissants. And everybody, get this book, take a trip to France, a bike tour, and you will love it. And Claire, I think it's fantastic. Did you have a website or a social media or whatever you want to tell people about?
Oh, yes. I am on Instagram as Anne Claire Author. Oh, my gosh. I'm so unprepared. And I'm on Facebook as Anne Claire Mysteries.
And when you
can
next
find
time,
me on both places.
Okay. And it's spelled Claire, Anne Claire.
Yes.
And
Anne
think
Claire
of her as a nice sweet chocolate eclair, and then add an E to it.
On Instagram. I'm on Instagram a lot, and then Facebook, too, as Anne Claire Mysteries. So I would love to chat with people and connect. That would be great.
Okay. I think you've done a great job with this book. Lots of fascinating facts and lots of just fun, and I like the mystery. It's a nice little mystery that also is intriguing. And in the next book, you have some of the other characters returning?
Yes, Sadie and her Wee Cycle, that's OUI, yes, Wee Cycle crew will be going to Alsace. And there'll be a new cast of mystery characters, but there's still the returning cast. So that'll be.
I love it all. One other thing, I just have to say, the way that you wrote about teapots, where there's a line, I think, where it's something, he even eviscerated teapots. And with this, simply using these few words, squat, lacking verb, and drippy pores. This is fine writing.
Oh, thank you. He was a fun character, yes.
Absolutely
a critic.
Fun
that's
character.
Very classy.
And you have to take your editor out for croissants and Kir Royale, okay? And take a picture of it.
Yes, wouldn't that be fun? And a bicycle ride.
Exactly.
We should.
Okay. Thank you again for joining me today. And Claire, you're a fantastic writer.
Thank you so very much. I've appreciated this. It's been great.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks.
And this is what I'm telling people. Look at this. Her editor gave her the idea. She didn't have the idea. An editor gave her this idea. Editors are fantastic. And they, like agents, are worth their weight in gold, because I have a feeling that for Anne, This is like a breakout book. I think she has a dozen books already, and I've read some of them. But this is a breakout novel. I'm really impressed with this writing. Everybody, bye-bye now.